God why we don't get answers to our prayers. If you're praying about something in your life and you continually find that those prayers are not answered, it could be that one of these reasons might be why you don't have an answer to your prayers. I wish I could stand here and tell you that I've had every prayer answered the way I wanted it answered in my life, but I can't do that. I'm not sure anybody can. And anybody that says that they have, I just wonder a little bit about the sincerity of that statement. But what is it about unanswered prayers? Let's look at these things. Let's look at the Word of God and find some reasons we don't get answers to our prayers. Number one, first reason is that, all right, there was our introduction, and there we go. First reason, we're not patient. Not patient. And one of the verses is the one listed there, Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. See, in our modern day, more than any time I believe in history, we've been programmed to expect instant responses to our wants. We want information, we get it within a few seconds. We want to know the weather for tomorrow. We want to know the breaking news this afternoon. We want to know the latest sports scores or stock quotes or any other bit of information that we want. We can find out. It's common occurrence in most of our families and workplaces. You're talking about something and you're like, what about that? I don't know. I can't remember. I can't remember the date. I can't remember the information. And there's a term in our vernacular that's called, well, let's just Google it. All right? And we Google it. All right, on our phones or our computers or our tablets, and we Google something to find that information, and we get it within just a few seconds. Problem is that that kind of attitude has carried over many times into our prayer lives as believers, and we expect answers immediately when we pray about something. We're programmed that way, and it's because we have not been properly taught from the Word of God that isn't always the case. God doesn't always answer our prayers immediately when we pray. I just gave you that one verse. You can write this one down. Psalm 37:7. Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Not being patient is a very hard thing for a lot of us, is it not? Traffic? Yeah. Even just little things like going to the bank, going to the grocery store, little things like getting on the internet. I mean, I remember when internet first came out and we thought, man, we are living it up now. We can connect onto the internet. And remember the way we used to do that called dial up through the telephone line? My goodness, if you had to do that now, you would pull your hair out. Because now we're all, quickly, it's high tech, high speed, and digital and everything else. And remember the little sound that it would make, the modem that would come, all that crack. It's just, if we had to do that now after being so used to, oh man, it'd drive us crazy. It's like once we got used to push button, dialing a phone, if we had to do the old rotary dials, remember that? We dial it and let go and it spins back. We dial it and let go. I had to show my kids one time, we were traveling somewhere, we were in one of those antique stores, and I had to show, they had never seen one of those, how it worked. They didn't do it. And it's hilarious just to watch that. Being patient is hard for some of us. And it's because of the kind of the world that we live in. But I think Isaiah 40:31, just a beautiful verse, is a word that reminds us, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord. Jesus even said in Luke 18:1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That phrase, not to faint, means not to lose heart. Don't get discouraged. Don't get impatient. When things do not come answers immediately, that doesn't mean that God is saying no. We need to realize that God does not always answer our prayers as soon as we pray them. By the way, you know that God already knows what you're praying before you pray it, right? Do you know that? I mean, y'all, God knows it before you even ask. And the asking is for our benefit, okay? We never come to God and inform Him of something He doesn't know already, all right? So the praying is for our benefit. He doesn't always say no, neither does He always say yes. Many times God just says, wait. Wait. Be patient. So, and sometimes God being silent, that is His answer. So the reason we don't have answers many times is we're not patient enough to answer. We think we have to pray one time, we're supposed to get it. Sorry, this is not the drive-through at Chick-fil-A. All right, that's not the way it happens. You have to wait. You have to be patient. So that's the first reason why sometimes we don't get answers to our prayers. We're not patient enough. Notice number two. There's also a second reason, and that is unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin is another reason, and go ahead, John, go to the next one. There we go. Is, I think, one of the biggies of why we don't have answers to our prayers. Unconfessed sin. When the nation of Israel had crossed in the promised land, walls of Jericho fell, and boy, they were riding high. Then they came to the little town of Ai. Instead of sending out the whole army, they sent out just a few, and they got defeated. 36 men were killed. The nation of Israel was in turmoil. They were devastated. Joshua falls down on his knees and begins to pray and say, God, what's wrong? What happened? And God said, whoa, wait a minute. Joshua, there's sin in the camp. There was one reason why they lost the battle of Ai, and that was because of one man named Achan. Achan sinned. Achan had disobeyed God at Jericho, had stolen, taken something he wasn't supposed to take. And so when Joshua was praying, the Lord stopped him from his prayer in Joshua chapter 7, verses 10 through 11, and told him, get up and take care of the problem, take care of the sin problem. Sin had blocked the way for Israel to move forward with God. To pray when there's sin in your life is wasted time, wasted energy, and actually it's just wasting your breath. Because the only prayer that God will hear that comes from a dirty heart that has unconfessed sin is the prayer in Psalm 66, verse 18 that says, remind us that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The only prayer God's going to hear if you've got sin in your life is a prayer of confession. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sin. Once we do that, then we can get down to other business. But Psalm 66, 18 is very true. If I regard iniquity, that means you know it's there, you refuse to confess it, you refuse to get right, and then God says, well, listen, you got that, I can't hear your prayer. I can't do anything else in your life. And maybe that's why you don't get answers to other things. Maybe you need to examine your heart and say, God, is there something there that's not taken care of? Is there something that I've not confessed before you? In our text that we just read in Isaiah 59, we read in verse 1, but notice in verse 2, it says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Some Christians pray for years and years and never have an answer to their prayers. They come to the conclusion, says, well, prayer doesn't work. Oh, I say that's not the case. If your prayers are not getting through to God, then something's interrupting the signal between the sender and the receiver. That something is sin. And we must examine our own heart and pray as the psalmist prayed, Lord, search me. Know my thoughts. Psalm 139. There's any wicked way in me, reveal that to me so I can get it right. There was a story of a church prayer meeting, much like what we have here on Wednesday nights. Folks were kneeling around the altar. There was a man in the church, his name was John, who always prayed the same prayer, Lord, clean the cobwebs of sin out of my life. Every time he prayed, Lord, clean the cobwebs of sin out of my life. Well, there was one dear old saint that was kneeling beside him, and he got tired of hearing that same old prayer week after week after week about cleaning out the cobwebs out of his life. And so he finally got a little enough of that, and he interrupted John's prayer, and he says, oh God, don't do it. Instead, kill that spider that's in John's life that's making all those cobwebs. Yeah. Maybe we need more spider-killing prayers, okay, in our personal lives and in our church as well. Maybe if we pray God kill the spider, maybe we won't have to worry about all the cobwebs all the time. Unconfessed sin will hinder your prayer. Unconfessed sin will cause you to have unanswered prayers in your life. Straight from the Word of God. Notice number three. Another reason that we have unanswered prayers is maybe we have the wrong motive. The wrong motive. Notice in the book of James, and we're going to spend some time here in the next few minutes in the book of James. Hebrews, James, right before 1 and 2 Peter. In James chapter 4 and verse 3, James says, "Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust." When we go to prayer, we need to be aware of why we are praying and careful for that which we're praying. Are we praying to satisfy some selfish desire? Or are we praying like Jesus taught us to pray in the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew chapter 6? Are we praying with the right motive? You know, there was a time when Jesus' own disciples said, "Lord, should we pray for fire to come down from heaven and consume these people who disagree with you over here?" Well, that's the wrong kind of prayer. I'm glad God doesn't answer those kinds of prayers, don't you? Aren't you glad that God doesn't answer those kinds of prayers where you lose your temper, get upset at somebody, or get upset at a situation? Maybe you're so frustrated and you just pray a prayer and you really didn't mean what you said once you think about it. Yeah. We need to remember verse 8 of that same chapter in the book of James, James chapter 4, because that's the answer to it. It says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." We need to ask ourselves, when we're asking God for something, when we're praying about a certain area of our life, maybe we're praying for a certain thing, are we praying with the right motive? Is it to glorify us? Or if God answers that, is that something that's going to glorify God? The great reformer Martin Luther, in the year 1540, had a friend that was dying. He was very ill. His name was Frederick. And he received a letter from what many people thought was Frederick was on his deathbed. And he wrote Martin Luther a farewell letter, thinking that he would die very soon. Martin Luther immediately sent a reply back to Frederick, and he said this, and I quote, he says, "I am praying for your healing, and for this I'm praying because I seek only to glorify the name of God," end of quote. When we pray and ask God for something, when we ask God to meet a need, when we ask God to answer a prayer, we also need to make sure we're doing it with the right motive. We need to make sure that we're saying, "God, would you meet this need? Would you answer this prayer if it's for your glory and not for my glory?" How many times have we prayed for something and really God didn't answer it because in reality we were praying selfishly? We were praying for something that was going to make us look good. It was going to be something to glorify what we're doing and what we've done and where we are. No, God doesn't answer those kinds of prayers. James says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You ask in the wrong spirit. You ask in the wrong motive. Because you want to consume it upon your lust. Do you pray for that so that you could stick it to somebody? And, yeah? Say, look at me. Oh, no, you know, don't laugh, but haven't we had that attitude from time to time? Yeah? Be honest. You get ill, upset with somebody, says, "Lord, I wish their car broke down on the way home." Now, wait a minute. That's not the right kind of praying. That's the wrong motive. Having the wrong motive will cause us not to have answers to our prayers. Notice number four. And this one probably happens to us more than we realize. And that is the fourth reason we don't have answers to our prayers is because we're not sincere. We're not sincere. It's dangerous for some of us who have grown up in church all of our lives. I thank God for that. I'm grateful for His blessings. I don't take it for granted. And I do probably do sometimes, but I shouldn't. But those of us who have been in church all of our lives, some things become a habit. And our praying can become that. We could get to the point where our prayers are just repeating the same thing that we've always said. We got to be careful of that. We got to be careful of saying the same words or do it out of a sense of obligation or ritual and not having a true heartfelt prayer to God. I think it's great to teach our kids to pray when they're little. We teach them, we memorize a prayer of some sort, and that teaches them. But you know, after a while, when they get old, they need to be praying something from their heart, right? And we should too. How many times have we as adults have been called on to pray in a public setting, a class, or worship service, or anywhere else that we're gathered, and sometimes we just sort of repeat some of the same phrases that we've heard, and it's not really sincere praying. I'll never forget what happened to me one time. We were, as a student at Tennessee Temple, a man came to lead in prayer at a Bible conference, and he was a visiting preacher from somewhere, I don't even remember his name, and our pastor had asked him to lead in prayer and open the service, and honestly, for 3 minutes, this man prayed, and all he did was quote Scripture. Now, don't get me wrong. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for Scripture. Thank God for the Word of God. Amen? I mean, we thank the Lord. But he was not praying. He was just getting up. He was quoting one Scripture after another, after another, after another. He didn't pray, seek God, and pray for God's power, pray for the service, pray for the speaker, pray for the mute, pray for forgiveness of sin. He just quoted Scripture after. Finally, the pastor, Dr. Robson, just got up and told him to go sit down. Sure did. I mean, you know, how many times has our praying not really been as sincere as it should? If our heart is not in our praying, then the exercise of praying is ineffective. I saw this quote one time, if our prayers do not move us, they will not move God. If our prayers do not move us, they will not move God. That's where in James, again, we're in James, and in chapter 5, verse 16, the last part of that verse says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That word fervent is a Greek word that means powerful and energetic. A powerful prayer, an energetic prayer. It's not listless, it's not indifferent, it's not cold, lifeless, with no power, no spirit. It's not lukewarm, it's not some formal praying with just repeating what everybody else has already said. It is a prayer that is earnest and sincere and energetic and persevering. Praying fervently. Beginning the next verses there, James takes and uses Elijah as an example and his prayer as a model of sincere praying. Praying energetically from the heart. Praying repeatedly if necessary. Oh, I tell you, there are some dear saints that I love to hear pray. Because you can tell it's from their heart. They're not just repeating something. They're just not saying something. And that's exactly what James is saying here. It's the effectual, fervent prayer, that powerful, energetic prayer that avails much. I think we need to examine our prayers and say, Lord, am I really being sincere? I've actually heard this statement as a pastor. Someone says, well, I pray about it, but I know God's not going to answer. Well, hello. What? Really? I mean, you're just wasting your time then. If you don't believe God's going to answer that prayer, then why are you praying? It's not sincere then. We must pray sincerely. We must pray fervently. We must pray effectively. That's the kind of praying that God will answer. I read the story of the great evangelist Billy Sunday. One of his revival meetings, a young ministerial student was asked in that particular city to come and pray before the pastor, before the evangelist Billy Sunday was to preach. So the young minister got up and he began his prayer in this affected, pious, ministerial tone of great big words that he'd been learning in the seminary, and displaying his great oratorical ability to pronounce these wonderful words. The more he prayed, the more of a showman he became. Story goes that finally, after just a little bit of that, and after he'd gone far enough, evangelist Billy Sunday himself got up and walked up behind the young man, yanked on his coattail, and whispered in his ear, says, young man, remember where God found you. The evangelist returned to his seat, and the young man turned and was shocked to see Billy Sunday tugging at his coat, and he paused and regained his composure, and tears began to flow down his cheeks. And he began to pray, this time from his heart, reminding himself of the life of sin that he had just come from not too long ago, and reminding of the grace and the mercy of God. And he began to pray a prayer of thanking God for His mercy and His grace and His love and His forgiveness, and a prayer that Billy Sunday would later say changed the entire revival service in that city that week. You see, prayer that is all head and no heart does not move the heart of God. Just pray. Just pray with a sincere heart. You don't have to know big words. You don't have to pray like somebody else prays. God's not looking for that from you. He's just looking for a sincere
Amen.
Heart of love and forgiveness and desire to know God. We must be sincere. So what can we learn from all this? Maybe we ask ourselves the question as we conclude this tonight. Of these four things, not patient, unconfessed sin, wrong motive, not sincere, are any of those things keeping us from getting answers to our prayers even today? Is there anything in our life? I mean, we've gathered around the altar already tonight. Some of us did. And prayed. But are we right with God? Are we sincere? Are we doing it with the right motive? But there's always one prayer that God will always hear. A genuine, honest confession. Because 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Amen. If you have failed God in your prayer life in any of these areas, God is waiting for you to come and ask forgiveness of that, and He's ready to answer your prayer. Now, wait a minute. You may not get that answer tonight. You may not get what you're praying for next week. God may want you to be patient for just a little while.
Amen.
God may want you to make sure you're sincere. He may want you to make sure you've got the right motive. But God is a God-answering prayer. God answers our prayers. God's a God-hearing God. He's a prayer-hearing God. He's a answering God. Story told of a physician who wrote about his experience growing up on a farm. And they lived in a two-story farmhouse. He wrote that as a child, he remembered that his mother would take and had a habit of placing items on the stairs leading up to the second floor that eventually she would need to take upstairs. And so instead of making multiple trips up and down the stairs all day, She would just take and what needed to go upstairs, she'd lay it on the stairs off to the side, and then when she'd go upstairs, she'd just take it as she went and save herself many trips. She always said, "I'll take it up the next time I ascend the stairway." The doctor wrote that he remembers that the one day his little baby brother was in the bassinet upstairs on the second floor. And while the family happened to be downstairs, somehow or another, his baby brother fell out of the bassinet in the room, one of the bedrooms upstairs. Everyone heard the baby hit the floor and the wailing and the crying that followed. And the physician said that he remembers his mother racing for the stairs and starting up the stairs to rush to the aid of the baby brother. But she could not get up the stairs because of the clutter that was on the stairway, and she could not ascend and get up the stairs to take care of the baby, and the cries got louder and louder, and the wailing of the infant was ringing in everyone's ears, and they're just thinking all kinds of thoughts of what kind of injury he might have. And he writes, he said he remembered finally that his mother got to his baby brother and realized that he wasn't seriously injured, he was just scared, and everything was going to be all right. But he said from then on, his mother never left anything on the stairs again. Because climbing the stairway, she wanted to make sure that there would be no obstacles that would impede her climb upward if she needed to get up the stairs. This physician concluded his story by saying this: we need to keep the stairway of prayer open. By keeping short accounts with God and confessing anything that would prohibit us from making the rapid ascent up to the throne of God, up the stairway to heaven. If we're not getting through to God, it's because there's probably some sin on the stairway to heaven. That's a great story. Many times, that may be the reason God's not answering our prayers. Let's examine our hearts this evening. And let's ask God, what do we need to do to make sure the stairs are clean and clear? Let's pray together. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word. Thank you that tonight you desire to hear our prayers. You desire to answer our prayers. Maybe not right now. Now may not be the time to answer it. Maybe next week, maybe next month or next year, maybe years from now before we know the full answer. But God, let us make sure that our stairs are clean and that they're clear, and nothing will keep us from ascending the stairway to the throne of grace tonight. Lord, I want to thank you that we have this opportunity to study, and I pray that it be helpful to us as we worship you and walk with you each and every day. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. Amen. John, you got it? Let's hear our song. Let's give it a shot.